stayed there for about a year and a half, and I then took another trip to New Jersey, stayed there for another year or so, and then I came back out to Washington. So it put me in different high schools for different seasons of time and just short seasons of time, and I lived my life kind of in the background of others. I skipped school a lot. Whenever there was an oral test or, you know, things like this, I skipped school. I'd hide out in the woods and wait for the bus to come in the afternoon and get back on and go home. One quarter, I skipped 28 days. You can't do that nowadays. It was easy back then. I just wasn't real big about being around a lot of people or having a lot of conversation. I was the quiet guy. And it was appointed by God that that would change. At some juncture in my life, it was appointed by God that it would not stay that way. I would not always live in the background, in the shadow of others, always just be a listener on the outside of the group looking in. That would change. But I could never in my life press through that veil to try to make that change on my own. And I can only know now, looking back, that it was supposed to change, and that He brought that change in His timing. It was timed very close to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being endued with power from on high, according to the Scripture. That did bring a change into who I was. Some of you may have heard, I went to a class reunion yesterday, 40-year class reunion from high school. I didn't think I'd live to ever even say that, 40 years out of high school. And I had one friend in high school, Rick Phillips. Rick could not go. Matter of fact, he didn't even tell me until yesterday. He's been diagnosed with leukemia. And he can't be around groups of people because of treatment that he's going through. Anyway, so I thought, well, okay, Rick's not going to be there. I'll be okay. But I was nervous. I don't get nervous about a lot of things, but I was nervous. But I went and found myself in a small group of people just visiting, talking to people whom I was not friends with in high school. Never had conversations with them, but I recognized their name. Couldn't tell by their face. And I was speaking with this one woman in particular, and she was sharing some things about her life and where she was at now. And there were some commonalities, and as I began to talk with her about some things, I found myself beginning to witness to her. And all at once she said, oh, I'm getting goosebumps. Oh, I'm getting chills all over me. As you're talking, I'm getting chills, and I'm thinking, it's 95 degrees. How do you get chills in 95 degrees? And of course, I knew it was the presence of God manifesting Himself to this woman. This is the power that we have been endued with in the power of witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me throughout the earth. And so we have the power of witness. That's not the power to witness, but the power of witness, the witness of His Spirit. And so I was thrilled to come away from that, having known the presence of God manifested Himself to one individual in yesterday's afternoon. Now, I want to read a scripture to you, or a portion of scripture to you. John chapter 2. Just go to verse 1, and we'll go through to about verse 12. Brother Johnstone is going to be speaking here in a little bit, but I feel like I want to insert this. I want to bring this into the day. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Here, before we go there, after the disciples had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2, we have an Acts chapter 3. They continued in the doctrine, they continued in prayer, and they found themselves going to the temple for prayer daily. And so this was a daily trafficking. Passed down this same road, passed by that same guy sitting at the same gate, and going on into the same temple and praying, and then walking out of that temple, walking past that guy at the gate, walking down that same road and going to where they were going. But this had been a pattern early on in their having received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and this conversion experience that Peter had had. The rest did too, but it was, of course, declared by the Lord that he would be converted and that he would be there to strengthen his brethren. Well, of course, you know, on that one day, on the way, going through the normal routine of what they had developed, the Lord quickened them. The Spirit of God quickened them. They'd heard that same guy say, alms, alms, every day when they walked by. But there was something different about the day. Not the guy. There was something different about the moment. And in the moment, there was a quickening by the Spirit of God. And they responded and spoke out. And just in a few moments, this man who for 40 years had been lamed was up and leaping and jumping and following them into the temple. It about caused a riot. People were shocked. You know who I think was shocked the most? Peter. That really just happened? And then there were those, the religious right came out and they began to accuse them and, you know, tell them, listen, we don't want you speaking in the name of Jesus. We don't want you teaching in the name of Jesus. We don't want to hear the name of Jesus. And the Bible says they left from there and went to their own group. You're not going to believe what just happened. And then they shared and they thought, wow, this is so exciting. I could see Ben. Where's Ben? I could see him. They'd probably look just like Ben. They were jumping around the room and couldn't believe. I mean, these guys aren't aristocrats. They're jumping around the room. They're so excited. God did that. My Lord, what in the world is happening? The day had changed. The hour had changed. Yes, there was an appointment in their lives. And they were walking in this new appointment. Not knowing what this day would bring and that day and this experience and that moment. It would only come to a time when they could look back and say, wow, what a change happened then. Because if you went too far back, they would never even had a clue that anything like this would ever change this dramatically in their lives. That at the least, Peter walking by, the shadow of Peter casting over on sick people would heal them. It was incredible. It is incredible. It's who we are. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for our moment. We're waiting for that season when God said, the past is the past and this is now the new norm. Are you waiting? Let's read this. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they don't have any wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what do I have to do with thee? Listen to this. Mine hour is not yet come. Listen to me. That's flesh talking. That's the humanity of the man talking. Oh, not me, man. No. Because watch when we read and follow. His mother said unto the servants, you know, a mother just has a way sometimes of ignoring the words of a son. Because sometimes mom knows this is a moment. There's something going on in you, son, right now that you don't even fully understand yourself. But I'm telling you, I was given an indicator a long time ago. And so she ignored the words that he had just said to her and said to the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. There were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. He said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, and the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, said unto them, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. 11. The beginning, listen to this, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The hour had come, and he never turned around. His hour had come. Your hour's coming. Yea, your hour's here. Your hour is here. You sit here wondering when and where and what is this all about? I'm telling you, you have a moment. You have an hour. And it is the quickening of God's Spirit that will reveal and open in the moment. From that forth, that time forth, things just begin to change. You never go back to what you were. The endowment of the power of God that has been placed upon you, the seal of the redemptive power of God. Yes. It's your moment. It is your hour. It's your hour. It's the humanity inside of you that says, not me. Well, don't you have the Holy Ghost? Well, yeah, but. Weren't you baptized in Jesus' name? Yeah, but. You know, I'm not old enough yet. I'm too old. It's your hour. It's your hour. God will set in motion in your situation that put the spirit of witness upon your lips, that wherever you are in any encounter, the spirit of witness will prevail upon your mouth. You can't produce the supernatural. He is supernatural. Oh, you can tell a good story or two, but I'm telling you, when his glory is manifested, when his power is manifested, all those around you,
amen,
will feel and recognize and identify. This is something I've not experienced or felt before. The time in our world is changing. Shouldn't the dimension that we live in change? It will. It has. I'm here to tell you your hour is now. Your hour is now. You won't go back to whatever it is that you were. Stand with me, would you? Would you receive this from God today? Your hour is now. This is the moment. He is the equipper. His glory will prevail upon you. We do nothing of ourselves. Hallelujah. Come on. It is the Father in us that doeth the work. We got to let it. We got to let it. We got to let it. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 on, he'll give you a platform that you could never build. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You maketh a way, Father, when there seemed to be none. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you are the change, Father. You are the change element, Father. You are the change element, Father. Hallelujah. You reshape, you remold, you make us, you fashion us after your liking, after your purpose, after your ordained plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day you're serving coffee, the next day you're serving the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
You can be seated. What a witness. What a witness. Earlier this morning, the Lord dropped a thought in my spirit while Hadley and I were out driving around, trying to run some errands for my wife. Anybody here ever crammed for something? You ever crammed for something? Yeah, some honest. Maybe it's a few years. Maybe you got to go back a couple of years, 40 years maybe, since you crammed for something. But the Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, I'm concerned that my people sometimes cram for my spirit. I was like, cram for my spirit? And immediately my mind went back to my school days. I was the worst. You ask any teacher of mine, all the way through high school, I was the worst. Absolute worst. You know, I was in an ACE school, and everybody who's ever been through an ACE school knows that it's four quarters in a school year. It's 3 stars per subject per quarter to get on the honor roll. And my parents deal with me by the time I turned 15, 16 years old, my last 4 years, 3, 4 years of high school was, if you stay on the honor roll, we pay for your insurance. You get off the honor roll, the bill's coming to you. I couldn't afford my car insurance at that time. I mean, I had to go get a second job to afford my car insurance. I wasn't doing anything that amounted to any amount of money. I was trying to focus on school. And so for some reason, I mean, I knew I had to get 3 stars per subject in a 3-month period. It was that easy. Shouldn't have been that difficult. But for some reason, I would wait until that last week. And I'd have like two, if you know what a pace is, I'd have like 2 paces in 2 or 3 different subjects that I'd have to get done in a week. And I'd go home and I'd try to finish one in an evening. I remember one specific case. I think I was either in the 8th grade or the 9th grade. But I remember one night, my poor teacher felt so bad for me. She stayed at school with me until after 7 o'clock in the evening while she helped correct my paces for me while I was scrambling. And I think it was probably about 7 or 7:30. She came to me and said, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to have to let you go and you're going to have to go home. Oh, I was devastated. I was a couple paces short. You would have thought that would have changed my behavior. That at some point, that would have been a line in the sand for me. And I said, you know what? That is never happening ever again. But unfortunately, I have very, very fond memories of my senior year of high school. and a personal tutor that my parents had to hire to sit down and help me get through Algebra 2 because I had waited. I knew I had to do it. But I had waited until the last minute, and that poor kid, his name was Adam Sullivan. Adam was a brilliant kid. Adam owns his own computer programming company now, and amazing kid. Adam spent, I can't even begin to calculate the hours that Adam spent with me my senior year of high school trying to help me get through Algebra 2 so I could graduate. So I didn't learn my lesson. A portion of scripture that came to me not long after that was in the book of Mark. The book of Mark says there, I think it's the 14th chapter. Mark chapter 14, I want to start reading verse 32. You put it up there. KJV is fine. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Now he's got these three disciples with him. He invites them into this private prayer meeting with Jesus. I mean, what an invitation. And he says, hey, you just hang out right here. I'm going to go over here and pray for a while. He knows what's coming. This is him praying that what's coming might pass from him. He's fully aware of it. And these three jokers are just clueless. If they had any spiritual sensitivity whatsoever, had any ability to be aware spiritually of what was just coming in a few short hours and what was going to happen with just in a few moments of time, how would they have acted? We know how some acted when this all began to go down. We know how others acted when this all began to go down. But here they are in this situation. Jesus is praying in verse 36. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. Fast asleep. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Was it just last week? Was it you that spoke last week and talked about Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, they may sift you as wheat? He's had these conversations. He's got just a little bit more insight maybe than the others. Maybe he should be a little bit more aware spiritually of what's going on around him right now. Nope, he's sleeping. Verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. Verse 41. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough, the hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go, lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. Verse 47. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote his servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching. Everybody say daily. I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Ben and I were talking last Wednesday night. about this test he was taking. He asked for prayer a couple weeks ago about this test. And we were talking about some of these tests he's been taking. And he was talking about, he had texted me, or he had talked to me that night about this 5-mile run that he did. Everybody say 5 miles. Anybody here ever ran 5 miles? Yeah, a few. 5-mile run that he pulled off. And he told me his time. I don't remember the time. It was a pretty amazing time. I remember saying to him, that's about a such and such minute mile, right? Yeah, that's about what that is. Unbelievable. Now, I'm venturing to say you knew you had to run that 5 miles that day. You didn't start training for that. That was Wednesday. You didn't start training for that on Tuesday, did you? You didn't start training for that on Monday, did you? Not even the Sunday before. Not even the Monday before. How many years have you been training on that 5 mile? A couple years. Then he said, tomorrow I got to do a 12-mile ruck with a 40-pound pack on your back. 35. He texted me the next day. He said he did it 2 hours and 46 minutes. Did you start training on Wednesday for that 12-mile? No. You see, there are just some things in life you can't cram for. There's just some things in life that you've got to be prepared for. But my concern is that at times, this is what the Lord dropped into my spirit this morning. At times, we try to cram spiritually. Oh man, it's wake up, it's Sunday morning. I better shut the internet off. Better get off my computer. I better pray. And I haven't even read my Bible. What if the pastor was to call on me to testify? I haven't even read my Bible this week. I better go try to read 20 chapters. I might get called upon to lead worship. I better pray. Oh, I know we're smiling and laughing, but Jesus begins to allude to this idea when he says, what's wrong? You guys are coming out here with swords and spears to get me. Every single day I was in the temple. Daily I was with you. Where were you? You could have walked in at any minute and grabbed me by the hand, put chains around me and let me out. Where were you at? You see, he desires his relationship to be with us to be one of constants. He doesn't want in and out relationship, on and off relationships with us. He desires a constant daily relationship with us. That's his desire. After this, let's jump ahead into the New Testament church. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's see how they lived. Let's just go to Acts 2. Let's just go to the end of Acts chapter 2. My phone's not cooperating here. There we go. Let's go to verse 44. Acts 2:44. Start there. We'll read to the end of the chapter. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold all their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I don't know. So this is the first church. They are continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Somehow between, one of my favorite lines when somebody knocks on my front door and wants to witness to me is, would you agree with me that all churches got their beginning in Acts chapter 2? That was the birth of the church. Absolutely. Without fail, every single person that knocks on our front doors would agree with me in that. Every one of us. Well, they don't understand. They just got set up. Because while we all agree we got started, the follow-up question to that is, then how in the world did we get so far away from the start? Well, I'm not sure. So we know the start. We know how they were. They were daily in the temple. Together in one accord. Nowadays, we have a schedule of coming together on Wednesdays, some Thursdays, some maybe Tuesdays, and Sundays. That's our schedule. I don't know how we ended up at that. We're not the ones that created that. Let's just be honest with each other. I'm not sure how we ended up at Wednesdays and Sundays, how we picked those days. You know, some denominations out there, they meet on Saturdays. That's their day. Here we are on Wednesdays and Sundays. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't know. I'm not here to debate that today. I'm only laying out some facts. Here we are on Wednesdays and Sundays. And if we're not careful, we delineate a couple of days of the week for the Lord. Or we set aside a couple of days a week for the Lord. Well, you know, Wednesdays, it's a hard day. By the time I get off work, I get home and I get a snack. Maybe I don't even get to go home and get a snack. Maybe I got to come straight here. Meet my family at the church. You know, but that's the Lord's night. I got to give that one to the Lord. Well, what about Tuesday? Is that not his day? What about Monday? Is that not his day? And then, of course, everybody knows Sunday. Don't schedule anything on Sunday, you know. Make sure you come to church on Sunday, and, you know, that's the holy day. Make sure you go home and get a nap afterwards. It's important. Don't do anything. Make sure you rest. On Sunday, that's God's day. Is it really? Because the first church said they went every day to the temple. They had a daily relationship with him. This is right after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They didn't miss a day where they weren't in one accord, in fellowship, in communication, in breaking of bread. You say, oh, well, Brother Johnson, we have Facebook. It doesn't count. Facebook doesn't count as fellowship. Amen. This is how they lived daily. There was no cramming in their world. They didn't have to get ready for Sunday night. They just got up and they went about their day. And I don't know, you know, everybody had to go to the market. Everybody lived. I don't know if they swung by the temple on the way to the market. I don't know if they swung by the temple on the way home. I don't know. But somehow, some way, every day they ended up at the temple. Go to Acts chapter 5. One last scripture here. I guess you can go to verse 39, Acts 5:39. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Stop right there for a second. So we're just a few short chapters removed from the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the miracle that Bishop referred to just a few minutes ago at the temple. And we know that they were going to the temple every day. But you mean it lasted to chapter 3? Because in today's world, you know, we have, well, not anymore. When I was a kid, we had revival. Anybody here ever been to a revival services? And went for like, I got a few witnesses. Went for like 2 or 3 weeks. And you went 7 days a week. Mom brought your dinner to church. You ate it in the back room, then came out and ran the aisles. Yeah. That was church. That was daily in the temple. Well, we've gotten too busy. We got these things called cell phones now. We're all busy and computers, and we don't have time for that anymore, so we don't do that. Plus, kids have to go to school now. We didn't go to school when I was a kid, but kids have to go to school now. God forbid if you have something during the week. That was how we lived. And so we get to chapter 5. I don't know what the time span is between 2 and 5. We get to chapter 5, and they're still going full bore. They're teaching and preaching everywhere they go. They're still getting together. And now they just got beat for the message of Jesus Christ. They've been beaten for the gospel. And you got to imagine by this point, people are saying, And my kids haven't been to bed before midnight in 3 weeks. Pastor, can we have a break from revival? We just take a couple nights off? Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Surely they stopped that daily junk, right? Sure, you just got beat, put to shame. Nope. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Christ. There wasn't any cramming for spiritual finals in the first church. They had an everyday relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the nature of our gatherings would change completely. We wouldn't even recognize our coming togethers anymore in settings like this or in a life group setting. If every single person in the room had a daily relationship with him. I'm saying that because I understand the struggle personally. I know how hard it is. Kids don't go to bed up all night. You're up 2-3 times in the night with them. Next thing you know, the alarm clock's going off. You got meetings. You got to rush out to work, and you're like, man, this is crazy. You get home. Your wife says, listen, I got something I got to go do tonight. I got to have you get the kids, and so you're trying to get dinner on the table, and you got all this stuff that's going on around you, and then it's 10 or 11 o'clock, and you're like, phew, got the kids to bed. Are you okay? Wife, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Right, I'm going to go to bed. I understand the merry-go-round that is life that repeats itself every single day. I understand how hard it is, but I wonder, I feel like the Holy Ghost is challenging us a little bit. Amen. It's, you know, every so now and then, it's not all the time. Every now and then there's a spiritual shift. There's a seasonal shift. We all know about the seasonal shifts in the natural. We're getting ready to enter into one in the natural. We got about 1 month and a half maybe left of summer. And then it's going to go into fall and autumn. It's going to start getting cooler. And then we're just going to transition right into rain. It ain't winter, it's rain. And we'll transition into rain. And then we're going to transition into sunshine rain. And then back into more hotter sunshine rain. And then that month of summer and then... Those are the transitions that we live through. That's who we are. We're getting ready to live through one real soon. But spiritually, there come shifts. Spiritual climate shifts. We're amidst one right now. Things are changing. There's a shift going on. And if I'm not careful, you know, I can be cruising spiritually, you know. I'm checking in on Sunday. Ooh, yeah, still feel it. It's good. Come in Wednesday. Whew, yeah, I still feel it. Still feeling whatever else is feeling. There was a witness in my spirit what the pastor was preaching, teaching. Good. Well, that's great because next couple weeks I'm going to be off. Not going to make it. And then I come back in and it's like, is this Life Church? What happened? What transpired? That's how quickly things shift spiritually. You've heard us talk about time and time again the Old Testament tabernacle and the cloud and the pillar. And when it moved, they moved. It didn't matter if they just set up camp. They had to move. Yes. In the New Testament, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus says the wind blows where it listeth. Now here's the sound thereof, but you can't tell when it's coming, when it's going. I tell you, you can't. No one can tell you when the wind's going to start. And no one can tell you when it's going to stop. You know how many days in the last 3 years I've spent over in Eastern Washington sitting in the house watching the wind blow, waiting for it to stop? It's going to stop any minute, right? The next day, oh, it's going to stop any minute. Day after that, it's going to stop any minute. And then all of a sudden, one night about 1 o'clock in the morning, you hear silence. It stopped. I don't have any control over that. It blows when it wants to. When he releases it, it happens. All those days they hung out in the upper room waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He said, listen, go tarry until you be endued with power from on high. And then all of a sudden, one day, as if a rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were... Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with missing church, okay? I'm not saying you can't, better be here on Sunday, because I might not be here next Sunday. If the Lord lets me, I might be on vacation next Sunday. If he doesn't let me, I'll be back here. But me being spiritually connected to what's going on doesn't necessarily mean that I can't take a Sunday off to go be with my family somewhere, as long as I'm being daily with him. I can come and go in and out of this wonderful group of people. And, you know, we're all praying together. We're coming on Wednesday night and we're praying together. We receive ministry from whoever's teaching that night. And then we'll hang out for a half hour, 45 minutes in fellowship. Maybe go get some food afterwards. And we enjoy each other's company. And there's that continuation. And maybe I miss Sunday. And you know, maybe I get online and listen. Maybe I don't. But I'm staying connected to the Holy Ghost. And maybe if I do get on Sunday, there's a witness of, whoo, man, I feel that. Encourages me. I'm talking about a spiritual shift. And if I'm not daily with the one who's bringing the shift, then that shift can so quickly pass me by and I get left in the dust wondering where my church is at. Where did my church go? Who stole my church? Have you ever read that book, Who Stole My Cheese? Who moved my cheese? Which one? I don't remember which one it was. Who moved my cheese? Where did my church go? Church didn't go anywhere. The Holy Ghost just took a turn. And so I've got to keep myself acclimated to his spirit by being daily with him, by staying in constant fellowship with him. You know, life with an 18-month-old means that not every Sunday can you listen and hear every single word that goes on. Every now and then, if I know someone else is speaking, I'll go sneak in the back and take that little tyrant away from my wife so that she can listen and hear every word. But you know what? There's a when there's spirit ministry going on and I'm in the room and my spirit's open and I'm receiving. I may not hear every single word necessarily, word for word, but my spirit's fed. Does that make sense? You follow me there? I'm not saying get on your phone and check out. That's not what I'm saying. But I understand. What I'm trying to say is I understand that sometimes there are distractions in life that I don't have any control over. I don't get to decide when Parker's going to have a great day or a bad day. I don't get to decide that. I don't have any control over that. He knows. And he knows what I need. And if I can figure out a way to get myself here. Believe me, there have been many Wednesday nights when my wife and I said to each other, I don't know if it's even worth going tonight. Because I know where I'm going to end up. Either in the back room or downstairs. All kinds of distractions. That's my distraction. I don't know what yours is. All of us come in here on any given Sunday, any given Wednesday night with all kinds of things going through our minds. All kinds of pressures on us. All kinds of weights on us. And some at times it would just lead us to say, you know what? If you knew what I'd gone through this week, you'd understand why I wasn't there last night or why I wasn't there last week. Can I encourage you? Be daily with him. Be daily with him. Let him talk to your spirit. Let him revive your spirit. Get in the atmosphere. Get in the company of believers. Call somebody up and say, could you meet me at a Starbucks? You got time to meet me at Starbucks tomorrow? Can we just share a cup of coffee and some fellowship? Could you meet me at the church? And can we just pray for 15 or 20 minutes together? I'm needing to connect today. You know what your situation is. You know what your circumstances are. All of us are different. I know what I have to deal with. I'll share this last thing with you and then I'm finished. Somebody wants to come to the keyboard, so you believe me, that's fine. We moved out of the house. If you know my job, I work from home the largest majority of the time. So my office was in my home. When we moved out of our home into the apartment, I lost my office. And so I began to look around. I needed some space. I needed somewhere to work. And so about a month previous to that, you know, this office had opened up right here behind these double doors, and I had started moving some stuff into there, and this was going to be, you know, my church office. But I still needed a work office. So I started looking around, and I'd found a space across town about 500 yards away from where we're living right now. It's called Citizens Creative House. It's a room about half this size, and it's got a bunch of desks on the outsides of the walls, and they, my company had offered to help me facilitate whatever costs were associated with it. And I was excited. I'd found this place. It was like $100 a month. It had internet and all these conference rooms and private spaces. And I met the people, and they were really nice people, prominent business owners in Puyallup who own and run this thing and are there working all the time. The guy who owns Anthem Coffee and Elements Frozen Yogurt, Seahawks photographers, all these cool people were there. So I thought, this is going to work. I didn't really think to pray about it all that much because, number one, it was across the street from the apartment, which was perfect. I could get up in the morning, run across the street and work and come back. It was right above the Wanna Cupcake shop, which is one of my favorite things. I mean, this is the will of God. And it was free. My company had agreed to pay for it. So I went for a month and I set up, and boy, I just didn't have any peace there. It just never seemed to work. Met a few of the people. One day the Lord spoke to me and he said, what about that office at the church? Why aren't you using that? I'm like, well, that's the church office. That's not my work office. That's the church office. So I went another month at Citizens House. And then July came around, and I knew I was going to be gone a lot with Cherry Harvest, and so I had emailed Citizens and said, hey, listen, will you suspend my account for 1 month? I don't want my company paying for something. I'm not going to be here. I just know I'm not going to be in the area. And they said, oh, yeah, no problem. Just let us know when you come back. So I got back. I guess that was the month of June. So I got back in July. I got back the first week of July. They said, hey, we turned your account back on. We'd already charged you for the last month, so there's no charge for this month. I said, oh, great. I got a free month. I went one time. I walked in the front door. I set up. And the Lord said to me, what are you doing here? I don't know. So I packed up my stuff. I got in my truck and I came to the church. And I set up in there. I started working. And then I came out here and prayed a little bit. And then I went back in and worked a little bit more. I emailed Citizens last week and said, hey, suspend my account permanently. I'm not coming back. There's something different about being where the Lord wants you to be at. I say that to say, there's nobody here. I'm here all by myself a lot of the days during the day. This place is wide open. Most of you have a key. If you don't have a key, come talk to me if you want one. There's just something about, I'm not saying this is some place special. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You understand that, right? But there's something about just, it's like I know we call this the sanctuary, naturally. But there's something about a sanctuary. Somewhere where it's quiet. There's not a lot of hustle and bustle around here. In fact, it's kind of lonely other than the church mice during the day. But there's something about being able to come in here where it's quiet and just wait on the Lord. Just lay down on this front row and just wait on Him. And then get up and go on about your day. You do what you need to do. I understand not everybody's schedule allows that. But I want to encourage you today to find a way, find a place, somehow, some way, to be daily with Him. Just daily, that's it. Well, how much time daily? I don't know. That's between you and Him. If you only got a couple minutes, spend it with Him. If you got an hour, spend it with Him. If He arrests you for 2 or 3 hours, then so be it in Jesus' name. But somehow find a way to be daily with Him. can we agree together today to stop the spiritual cramming that sometimes by our personalities possesses our lives? And find a way to slowly stay in relationship with Him. Let's stand together today. Father, in the name of Jesus, You created me, You formed me, You fashioned me in Your likeness. And above all of that, Jesus, You desire today to be in relationship with me. It is Your heart's desire, Father, to be in daily communication with me, to talk to me, to share with me, to show me things spiritually, to bring revelation and understanding through Your word, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus, do a work in my heart today, Father. Give me the grace to find a place every single day of connecting with You, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it's my heart's desire, Father, to be close to You. It's my heart's desire, Jesus, to know You. Oh, we wait upon You, Jesus. You know our lives. You know our schedules. None of it's hidden from You, Father. But Your word tells us to take no thought for things that You already know about. For You clothe the lilies of the field. You know about every sparrow that falls. Our instruction from You, Father, is to seek You first. To make You priority, Jesus, and everything else will fall into place. Give us the grace to live that on a daily basis. Give us the grace to trust Your word concerning that, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I love You, Father. I love You, Father. I love You, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were driving back from Yakima. I said to her, I was reflecting to her on a season of time where for a couple of years, maybe longer, I got up every day and came here. Many of you were a part of that. We met here in the mornings. Some people from 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning up until 6 or 7. People would come in and out of here and pray. And it was nothing to lay there on the floor, over there on the floor, anywhere in here, hear that door open up. And people would come in and pray for a few minutes and then leave because they had to get on the road to commute. I'll never forget those moments of time and fellowship with Him. But I also, what I said to her, what started this conversation was that at times it slipped into a place of us measuring each other's spirituality by who we saw here and who we didn't. One morning someone said to me, they said, "Where's so-and-so at?" I don't know. It wasn't his alarm clock this morning. I'm sorry. you know what the Lord asks of you, Brother Cool? He doesn't necessarily ask of me. What he's inspired you to do, he may not inspire me to do. So don't judge me. If he asks you to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be here to pray, you better be here. Don't get mad at me if I'm not here. Because I might be at home in prayer. Or I might be here by 8 or 9 o'clock for prayer. It just depends. I came to the point where I got so hard on myself. Because I went through seasons of time where, I'm just being honest, I couldn't get up in the morning. Especially once kids came along. Everybody said amen. Amen. It's hard. And so if I wasn't up by 5 and praying by 5:30 and in the Holy Ghost and seeing miracles by 6:30, then I was backslidden because I slept till 6:55 that morning. I had to get up and get ready in 10 minutes to get out the door so I could make it to the office by 8. I've lived through that. I know what that is. Don't beat yourself up because you set yourself, you set a routine up and then you can't make it. Find a way in your life, in your schedule to be daily with him. Don't say, well, Brother Cool's there at 5 a.m. I guess I better be at the church at 5 a.m. Brother Cool does his devotion at 8:30 a.m. every morning. I guess I better find a way. That may not work for you. You find a place of being daily with him. If it's 9 o'clock at night, then make it 9 o'clock at night. Bishop's going to be sleeping by 9 o'clock at night, so that's not his hour. But 3:30 in the morning, that's probably more his hour. I can't compete with that. That's not my hour. I'm fast asleep. Sometimes I get emails from him at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sorry, but I am dead asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's going to take an act of God or my kids to wake me up. But I can't be like, oh my goodness, I guess I'm not spiritual. I'm not up at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's how his body works. That's not how mine works. I can have intelligent conversation at 10 o'clock at night. He says, don't talk to me at 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to bed. We're different. I can't judge that. I can't say, well, then what's wrong with me? Because I'm supposed to be asleep at 9 o'clock. That's not reality. You got to find a way to be daily with him for you. That's why I'm not setting parameters today. Find a way in your life, in your schedule, with your family to be daily with Jesus. And see what difference it makes in your home, in your marriage, on your job, in every aspect of your life. One more time. Jesus, thank you for your word today. I receive your word today. Father, the word of faith that was spoken in this room today, I receive it in the name of Jesus, into my spirit. I claim it in Jesus' name. I thank you for the encouragement that you've spoken into my spirit. The confirmation, Father, that you've given me personally. I stand upon it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you back here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.